Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah. Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yes, sir. America. Here, Rob, in the background here at JQ. It's a little somber talk of sports with the 12th man, but, again, still a couple days out, a lot of things to discuss, man. So again, it is, wow, wrapping up the month of January, the 29th, if you will, on this Wednesday. And again, we're probably still dealing with the effects, obviously about Kobe, so we're going to spend a lot of time talking about that and just kind of like the impact of that. It's one of those things that's, kind of transcendent, man. So, again, we are going to do our best to try to have a good talk, but I'm not going to lie to you and actually say that our hearts are not heavy and somber looking at that, even a couple days out, too. So, again, we'll do the best we can, and we'll get to the show for the sake of that. But, again, as we always have to do, I want to introduce the fellas. Obviously, we got Curtis and Jerry on the West Coast, but JQ, you know the word, man. You did okay.
I'm trying. I'm as good as I can be right now, man. How you doing?
Yeah, good. Yeah, I figured that was the case too, man. So we'll get a chance to have some therapy here and just talk about stuff and all the good jazz. So stay tuned for that as well. And Rob Ford, what about you, man?
Yep, doing good. Obviously, as you started off the show, Andre, obviously it's a somber moment in the sports world, and we all know why. And then we got the news about Chris Dolman on top of that, too. But, yeah, definitely a somber moment in the sports world, and we'll talk a little bit about that more in a few minutes.
Gotcha. All right. Like I said, again, everyone's got some great moments, and this is going to be the time, man. Again, I love the fact that Rob kept it pretty brief, 7 topics here. We're going to talk about that, talk about some fantasy basketball shout-outs, some Super Bowl predictions if we can get through that, and then we'll kind of talk about some mock draft and little things like that too. So again, and a shout-out to Curtis as far as the fact, will you enjoy the Super Bowl without the Patriots finally being in it too? So I like the head up. Little humor at the end of the show, too. So, as always, to reach out to us, the number to call, same number, 424-243-9519. As always, number once again, 424-243-9519. As always, we encourage you to follow us on the Twitter. Have some good stuff on that as well, which is at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And then again, if you follow us on Facebook, we have that option as well, facebook.com/talkingsports, the 12th man, or 12th man sports. You will find us in that arena as well. So, man, let's have some fun. Hey, so JQ, obviously that's, we talk about the Lakers and everything like that. So it's kind of a good way to start with you, man. So you get a chance to go off the show and just kind of share your thoughts and everything like that, sir.
Yeah, I'm still trying to process it. I think everybody feels that, that heartbreak and that and the devastation with Kobe and Gigi being gone and, all the other 7 and the families who've been affected by it, just still doesn't seem real. As a Lakers fan and as a Kobe fan, him being a year younger than me, you kind of have a sense of a kindredship and not ownership, but just, like that's my guy, almost like a relative, watching him win titles, MVP, the all-star selections, the first team all defense, all those things, all his greatness on the court that I cheered so hard for, it made me sad, but not to the point of tears. It was the other things that, you know, have made this some really rough moments since Sunday. You know, him being a dad and, you know, being a girl dad and having two girls of my own, and those sons, and feeling that, you know, when I had my second one and have another girl, and of course I was happy to have a, you know, have healthy children, and I was going to love them, no doubt, and put my all into them. But, you know, not having that son as a man and, you know, sometimes having that twinge about it and watching him with his four girls just pour himself into them. And, you know, I could have five more, you know, the story that L. Duncan told the other day on SportsCenter. Just, you know, from afar, help me, you know, like, how dare you be upset that man, you know, as great as he has been, you know, just dove into it and gave his all into it. And it helped me kind of, you know, those moments early on when I was like, man, you know, we only want to have two, and this is what it is, and this is the life you have, and you got to make the most of it. And, you know, able to get rid of that feeling, you know, of not being able to have a boy and being able to just be proud to have two girls and love them and probably love them harder and be so protective of them. And then on Sunday, so my youngest daughter, Jordan, we signed her up for acting classes, and I signed her up for track this year. And she just coincidentally here the past couple weeks, she's had practice both on Sunday. So my wife took my youngest daughter to acting class, and she came home and she had a little bit of a cough. And it was the last conditioning class practice before they go into full-on track practice in a couple weeks. And me being the crazy sports person I am, talking to my wife, internally thinking, can I send her to practice today? And, yeah, you know, I was like, I feel like, you know, she can be really good at track, you know. And the thought that came through my mind, as bizarre as it is, was, you know, Mike and Kobe wouldn't take a practice off if they were sick. So I tell my wife, you know, she's going to practice, and I'm going to take her to practice. So I take her to practice, and we get about 30, 45 minutes into practice, and I'm, you know, I've just met these people, first year of track, and somebody says, you know, they said Kobe is dead, and I'm like, Kobe is dead? What? And as things start to trickle in, and me and Rob and Dre have texts about it, and, you know, I had to walk away. You know, because they went back after a couple minutes to just regular conversation, and I'm sitting here just rocked, and not knowing who's all on the plane. We had all the rumors about all the girls, and maybe Vanessa, and maybe Rick Fox on there. But then to finally find out that, you know, he and Gigi had died while he was taking her to a game, and I'm at practice with my daughter, and that was really hard to deal with. And it's still really hard to deal with. And that's what takes it from being a sports fan to really hitting home and just devastation and hurt for a dude that I watched and loved and rooted for, him being gone and his daughter being gone. And when I fell asleep like that, it just has just been really hard to deal with right now. So, and then all the tributes, and you see how he affected, you know, from people he barely knew, people he didn't know like me, his contemporaries, the people that played before him, the people that played with him, the people underneath him, just to see their reaction as well, to let you know, like, you know, this dude was he's got his warts, and we all have our warts, but the time he took with people and the time and his effect on them, to see him react like that, I just, you know, I don't want to take all the time. I just pray that, you know, we continue to wrap our arms around Vanessa and the girls and the other families that were affected by this tragedy. And, you know, Gigi and Kobe are gone, but they'll never be forgotten.
There it is. Well said. Well said. Rob, you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, and definitely well said, JQ. And obviously this is never something easy for any of us to talk about, and most importantly, our prayers go out to Vanessa and the three girls and all the families that lost loved ones in that in the helicopter accident. And so definitely our prayers
go out to all of them. But, you know, obviously I've never been a Lakers fan, but I'm a sports fan. And so you respect the individual and Kobe and what he has accomplished. But you saw the maturity, the maturation of Kobe Bryant as a father, as a husband, as a business person, and the impact that he's had on so many people. And you saw what he was doing with Gigi when it comes to the impact that he was having on her as a basketball player. And that's the thing that's I think that's so hurting. And as JQ mentioned, being a father of two girls, and you know, I'm a father of two girls as well. And, you know, just seeing that, you know, and how the other three daughters are going to have to grow up without a father now. And that's, you know, that's what's really the heartbreak of it all. And that's what's, I think, what's really make it so hurtful, you know, that they have to grow up and go through that. And that's, you know, all you can do is just, your heart just goes out to Vanessa and those three girls. It's really, really devastating. And I had a moment, I can't remember what I was, it was a Kobe Bryant piece I was watching on Sunday. And yeah, I'm not the real, you know, the emotional, teary-eyed type, but it got to me even on Sunday night. And like I said, that's me, someone who never really cheered for the Lakers, but, you know, but respected Kobe and what he was able to do on a basketball court. But as a basketball fan, that really hurt. And then as a father, that also really hurt. And really hurting for those girls too, his daughters. Wow, it's, yeah, big blow to the sports world, but definitely a big blow to that family and those girls as well.
Very nice, Chris. Gary, you guys have the floor now.
Well, you know, definitely our thoughts and prayers are with all the, you know, the surviving families. And, you know, and like Rob said, you know, we, as, you know, whether you're a Pelican fan or a Blazer fan, you know, we were, you know, we had our hearts ripped out at different times by Kobe, and, you know, with his killer instinct and that sort of thing. But as you see him develop as a person, as a father, and I am also a father of a daughter, and my daughter has four daughters, so I have four mm-hmm. granddaughters, and, you know, so I couldn't, you know, putting myself in that situation and seeing those devastating scenes and wondering what, you know, what those people in that helicopter must have been going through and what their thoughts were and those sort of things. It's devastating. You know, now it's not about the Laker, Kobe Bryant and the Lakers. It's about Kobe Bryant, the father and the husband and the friend and all of the people that lives that were touched. And I was listening to, I watched so much of it, and I can't remember which one, but it was on the NBA channel, and there was someone, it might have been Greg Anthony, he said, you know what, he said, you know, let this, something like this, you know, resonate in your life. You know, if you've got a family member that you're having an issue with, or a daughter going through stuff or whatever, you know, just put all those things aside and, you know, just grab them up and just say, hey, I love you, and let's move on, and let's get through this. Because, you know, life is short, and we don't know when our time is. And it really, it kicks you in the butt. Your own mortality kicks you in the butt when you see a man that's 41 years of age that's no longer with us. So, you know, my thoughts and prayers are with him. And I can't think of any other than maybe that affected globally like this, other than maybe
Michael Jackson
but really somebody like maybe Princess Diane or something, that people were affected. So so Kobe was this global icon, and today I'm in the bag room running the international side, and this is what happened. I've got a little bit of time, and I keep this broom handle in there, and I practice my golf swing. And this guy walks by, and he says, hey, you know, you need to bring it back a little farther and really follow through with that. And I look up, and he had an accent, and I looked up, and he had a Laker hat on. And I said, you've been a Laker fan? He says, yeah. He says, I'm from Greece, and I've always been a Laker fan, and I've always been a Kobe Bryant fan. And I asked him what his thoughts were, and he basically, you know, reiterated really the same thing that we've been talking about. So it's not just affecting us here. It's affecting, you know, globally this is affecting people, you know, the loss of Kobe Bryant. So my thoughts and prayers are with him, with the families. Curtis, what do you got?
I want to talk about, I was watching Tiger Woods and mm-hmm. what they were doing down there. And I think that place was not too far away from where that accident was. And the way CBS and all the people were keeping that away from Tiger Woods because they didn't want to wreck his game. Because on Saturday, he was looking like he could win that, but that went away really quick on Sunday. So they kept it from him all the way until the end. He was told that when he got done that he needed to go to the office, and he didn't know why. But he said when he got to the office that he heard people in the crowd saying, do it for Mamba, do it for Mamba. Tiger, do it for Mamba. And he said he had no idea what they were talking about. He had no idea of what was going on. I don't want to be the stick in the mud, but you know, and I think I've said on this radio station, I was not a fan of Kobe. I was not a fan of Kobe. I in the Shaq-Kobe split, I sided with Shaq. In the Salt Lake City deal, there's not very many men that I know would have got caught up in that kind of thing, especially when you're a millionaire and you got the world at your feet and to get caught up in that. But we've had some Blazers getting the same kind of crap, and it was in Salt Lake City. So, maybe not no surprise there. But I will say, and, you know, there's things I thought about. Michael Jackson, and I didn't cry for anybody. Michael Jackson and Prince were bigger than Kobe. Whitney, I wrote that off to being a junkie. Her daughter, same thing. Prince, big surprise of what he was into and what he was doing. And then Michael, somebody got convicted and went to jail because of what happened to Michael. This, I kind of equate to, and I've seen it here in Portland with some of these timber executives and some of these big-time people that have things to do with Nike and some of the aerospace. Here in Oregon, we've had, in the last 10 years, three planes fall out of the air of private jets of rich people, and all of them die, you know, similar to what Kobe had. And so when you're in that stratosphere and you can do those kind of things, and I'm looking for fall here, and it's looking like human error, fog, no visibility. And for me, that hurts that somebody should have known better.
Yeah, you know, Gary, you made a real interesting point in regards to Kobe and the impact he had on the game globally. I know Kobe had a huge impact
on the growth of basketball in China and as well as the Philippines too, believe it or not. Kobe did a phenomenal job with exposing the game, played a big part of that in the growth in Asia of basketball, particularly, like I say, in China. And I think a lot of people weren't aware of the kind of impact he made on the game in the Philippines as well. And how much popular the NBA has gotten, even in that nation as well. So overall, he's had a huge impact on the growth of basketball of Asia. And so a lot of that has to be attributed to what he was able to accomplish in exposing the game and going over there and doing camps and things of that nature. So it's a very underrated element that I think a lot of people you don't hear mention as well, but the impact that he had in growing the game of basketball in Asia is probably phenomenal. And I don't think that that Jordan, Magic, Bird, I don't think any of them had the kind of impact on growing the game in Asia like the way Kobe did.
And the spotlight that he was trying to bring to women's basketball, college basketball, and the WNBA, he was frequent at a lot of WNBA games at Sparks. He was, you know, Gigi wanted to go to UConn. They, you know, put the chair out there for her as well. I'm just having a hard time reconciling what has happened. I can't really add too much more to that. Watching, you know, Shaq and Jerry West and Elle Duncan just killed me the other day with her story about meeting Kobe when she was pregnant. And, you know, that whole thing has girl dad trended. Just devastated, man. I don't really have anything else for that. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And, you know, one a message for all of us here on the show and a message to our listeners as well. And I know a lot of us have probably heard this over the last few days. But this is another example that we can't take our loved ones for granted. We have to make sure we tell them we love them, you know, spend time with them, go and see them. You know, we just can't take those kind of things for granted. And, you know, like I said, that's a message for all of us on the show and for all of us out there that's listening to the show. Hey, you know, hug your sister, hug your brother, your parents, grandparents, children. Hey, we don't take those kind of things. Don't take those relationships for granted. And if you're holding grudges, you know, get over it. It's not worth it. And, I mean, that's just a message that hopefully that's something we take out of this as well.
Well, Rob, I want to share something in my personal life with you guys on here. I have a sister. She's handicapped. She's in a wheelchair. And sometimes, you know, she can be just a pain in the ass. And we had a little falling out. And this is right before all this stuff happened. And when I heard words like that from Shaq and from, you know, so many of these people that are, you know, bigger than life, you know, and they're saying, you know, this can happen at any time. And now we're seeing things like this. I went in there and I told my mom and dad, I said, you know what? I said, I just got to get over my pettiness with my sister. I just got to get over it. And I'm just going to do something really, really nice for her. And she's a huge, as Curtis will attest, she's a huge Blazer fan, just a Blazer maniac. And that's her life. That's what she does. She follows every single game, everything about it. And so, and she does it. She lives in an assisted living situation, and she's got like a little 40-inch TV. And so tomorrow, I'm going to go buy her a 60, 65-inch high-definition TV, and I'm going to put it up for her, and she's going to be able to, you know, watch the Laker game on Friday on her big TV, and it's going to be – I think she's going to be so excited to have this new big fancy TV, and it's going to – and I'm just going to tell her, I said, Vicky, I'm moving on, and I'm sorry for being petty, and we're just going to – you know, we're just going to enjoy each other's company, and I'm going to come over and watch the game with you on Friday.
That's good stuff. That's good.
if you want to throw 65 inch to my way, I'll be cool too. You know, Gary, just saying too, Curtis, you know, all the fun guys want to like contribute to something to my side, man. You know, I'm missing. That's good. That's a really good story, Gary. I appreciate that.
Hey, well, we'll see what we can do. You know, Rob's probably getting a big bonus, so you could ask Rob too.
Add to the fun.
Don't tell the world, Gary. Don't tell the world.
We already know. Speaking English, I want to. You know, everyone had a chance to share it. I'll finally get a chance to share my side too, because I'm kind of in the mode of Rob, because you know, again, not the biggest Kobe fan, not to say that in a bad way, but obviously, like I said, basketball fan, respect the game, and just, you know, it's tough because, you know, I grew up right in the era where Michael Jordan was the dude. So Michael Jordan was my dude, and just hearing the stories and everything like that, and you kind of do realize how, you know, Kobe came along at the perfect time, kind of like millennials, kind of in that area. Well, obviously Kobe, then you had, you know, LeBron. But Kobe was kind of like the next one that just transcended things too. So again, just looking at that perspective and just seeing the impact that he has made, like you said, it's just really amazing to see everything that he's been able to accomplish. You know, Jordan was not as involved in a lot of things. That's maybe due to age, due to, you know, obviously social media and little things like that. But, you know, it's just interesting to see how that impact is, you know, shown. Obviously when somebody passes, everything comes up. It's just like, you're like, man, it's kind of one of those situations where you're sitting back and you're like, you know, like I said, he's left an amazing legacy, obviously gone too soon, but just, you know, you have to look at the life that he's able to do. And as you said, Rob and everyone that's mentioned on the call, just the fact that, you know, everything he's been able to accomplish, he's become a better man, better father, little things of that too, and just the impact that he's made in business. Almost, it's just been, it's kind of transcendent too. So, you know, from my perspective, again, we'll talk a little bit more about your thoughts as far as, you know, if they need to, you know, kind of universally just kind of let that uniform get retired. I mean, you know, I'm still kind of on the fence about that, because again, in my heart, I've always been, you know, Jordan. They haven't retired Jordan's jersey yet, but again, not to say that's a bad thing. It's more or less like, you know, how does that look like as far as the whole thing for the game too, you know? So, not that there's lack of respect, but, you know, just this is one of those things too. But, you know, again, it's definitely tough. I know all of us, whenever we're shooting, you know, shots at the garbage can, I'm always saying, Kobe, that's me. You know, I'm always like shooting shots. And, you know, you hear that too. It's just funny, man. You kind of think about that whenever, you know, you're at work or whatever. It's just one of those things, man. So, you know, again, I know it's – I'm trying to, like, sober up and kind of, like, at least, you know, bring a little, you know, positivity to the call too, you know. But it's just one of those things. It's like, man, you know, had a couple of days to kind of really sit back and just kind of, like, absorb everything too. And it's like, ah, man, you do want to wake up and wish that it was a dream, man. But, you know, it's just one of those things, man. So –
You missed
9
out of 10 of your shots.
No, I missed. I was Kobe. I was on it. You know, I'm glad you had a little joke in it too. I'll let you have that one tonight. Go ahead, Gary.
Well, one more thing. Yankee pitcher Don Larson passed away in 1956. He pitched a no-hitter. My brother wrote me this note before the podcast. He's down at the Blazer game tonight. And he wrote me this. He lives in Idaho. My brother lives in northern Idaho. He's down visiting us, and so he's going home. He knew this guy, and he's going home for the funeral tomorrow. So he'll be at the funeral for Don Larson, who pitched a perfect game in the 1956 World Series. So I thought I would share that as well.
Awesome. Thank you as well. Well, like I said, we hope that we're able to provide this moment too. And I know it doesn't completely solve everything too, but, you know, hopefully we've been able to at least get some healing out and little things like that too. You know, again, I don't have kids, so that's a whole other impact. That's a whole other level too, man. You know, but the fact that maybe this would be a time, like you said, to galvanize and to, you know, put those grudges aside as Gary's able to do, and just kind of sit back and say, you know, man, it's something bigger out there too. So I think that if we can get anything from that too, to realize that, you know, let's kind of take that lesson and everything too. So that's me. And then again, Rob, if you don't have anything to say, use Spanish shout outs, and then we can kind of talk about some Super Bowl predictions, if we can kind of like make that tough transition. But there you go.
All right, fantasy shout outs for the week. Aaron from the Bristol, Hartford, Connecticut area, his team had an 8-1 victory over the champ is here. And JQ's team still in first place in league Ohio players with a 90-35-1 record. So those are our fantasy shout out for the week. And we're getting close to the All-Star break, so it's starting to get a little crunch time here in the fantasy basketball. So we look forward to competing here down the stretch with all of our competitors. And for those of you all that are competing, we thank you all for participating as well. So those are the fantasy shout outs for the week. Congratulations to Aaron, to Juke, and JQ.
I appreciate it. I'm just really not in a great mindset to gloat on it. I see you as well, and I see Dre as well, tying up your divisions. I watch it, and I watch. I see what's happening. So you welcome, Dre, for me helping you out this week, this past week, so you can get back in the first place in your division there. So you're welcome.
Yeah, appreciate that.
And a big win by Rob as well, playing the person that was in first place to catch him. So, you know, like you said, it's getting to be crunch time, and the same 5-6 teams keep showing up every year. And I think it's gonna be the same thing going healthy and, you know, trending in the upward direction. So it's been fun this year.
Yep. And, you know, obviously, you know, what team's going to be healthy here down the stretch, too, is going to be important, too, because a lot of us all have really good teams. So it's that's going to play a big role, too, down the stretch.
Trying to pick and choose, trying to keep up these healthy players. Hopefully we'll get Kirk.
Well, hey, before we get to the Super Bowl stuff, I just want to give a shout-out to Damian Lillard for the NBA Player of the Month. And he's been lighting up, right? Last three games, 158 points.
Damn.
16 assists, 15 rebounds. Yeah. He's been dominating. So, great job, Dane.
Yeah,
kind of
Damian.
Look at that.
Damian's doing his thing, man. All right.
I like Dane. I have no issues with that at all. Yeah. He gets after it, and I love Dane. The fact I don't need no super team. I'm a builder where I am. We're gonna make it work. I love it.
Oh, I love it. Hey, we're gonna talk about some Super Bowl predictions, but I do want to just give a quick shout out to Curtis here, and I want to ask: will you enjoy the Super Bowl without the Patriots being in it, Curtis?
Well. Yeah, with that spice or rum, I know he is.
Well, of course I enjoy, you know, it is great football season when the Patriots are done. But, I mean, you got to give testament to there has not ever in the NFL been a dynasty that has lasted as long as the Patriots. They've been the team to beat for the whole NFL for 18 years. No other quarterback has been in 9 Super Bowls. The Patriots have passed everybody in being in more Super Bowls than any other franchise in the NFL. And that is testament. But you know, I live out here in West, and living in the West, for some reason, a lot of people love these San Francisco 49ers. So I was over here last Friday, and my brother betted me $50. He wants San Francisco. So for me, because of my brother, and like we were talking about earlier, because of Kobe, we're going to try to love our loved ones as best we can because we just don't know. I'm going to take the Kansas City Chiefs. I really didn't have a dog in this fight. But since he wants $50, you know, I don't want to give it to him. So Kansas City.
Wow.
I'm just going to say, I think Kansas City is going to score 34 to 38 points. And I don't think San Francisco, I don't think they're going to score over 30.
Wow. Okay. Curtis with the first shot of the night,
actually.
Talking about his prediction. Go ahead.
I agree with that. I kind of like Kansas City, like 35 to 27 in this game. I really think it's going to be tough to slow down Patrick Mahomes, even as good as San Francisco's defense is. But I look at it something like a 35-27 game in favor of the Chiefs. I think it's going to be a matter of I don't think the 49ers can outscore the Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, this is there. I was on the bus with a San Francisco 49er fan. And I said, you know what? I said, here's my prediction. In the first quarter, early on, the 49ers are going to be up maybe 10 to nothing. Then all of a sudden, by halftime, it's going to be 21-10. And I said, and then the 49ers are going to be one-dimensional, and they're going to try and depend on under Case G to try and go up against Mahomes. The defense is going to be tired, and Kansas City is going to win 31-23.
I also want to say this. I saw the NFL Network this weekend had a loop-to-loop of NFL films from Super Bowl I all the way to the last Super Bowl last year. Man, what is scary is if Kansas City does the same thing that Washington and Doug Williams did to Denver in that second quarter. You know, that was so ugly, and that game was over.
I'm
hoping Kansas City doesn't repeat that.
I don't think it's going to be that bad. I think, the 49ers will – possess the football, so they'll be able to run the football. And I think they'll be able to score on the Chiefs. I just think they won't be able to outscore. I don't think it's gonna be bad. I don't think you're gonna see Patrick Mahomes throw five touchdowns in the second quarter like Doug Williams did against the Broncos. That Broncos team was a poo Super Bowl team. If they were in the NFC that year, they might not even make the playoffs.
I'm gonna be different. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm gonna be different. And listen, I do not like the 49ers. The 49ers did not cost me one, but two Super Bowls by a touchdown. So I don't have any love for the San Francisco 49ers like that. But however, I feel like defense travels, and I know I like Patrick Mahomes way better than Garoppolo. But Shanahan, I think, has the benefit of having gone through a seismic collapse against the Patriots as the coordinator. And understanding that stay with the run game. That run game, I think, is what you do. If you don't want Patrick Mahomes scoring, you keep his butt on the sideline. And I know they can score quickly, and I think it's going to be a really close game. But that San Francisco defense, that front seven especially, I think can get after it and contain it a little bit more. I think in when everybody likes one team, it scares me. And everybody and I want Andy Reid to win the Super Bowl. I really do. I hope that I'm wrong. But everybody signing with one team gives me pause. The same way everybody thought the Rams was going to beat the Patriots way back in the day, and they just beat up the Rams wide receivers. I feel like the 49ers are a very physical team, and I talked about it the last time with Quan Alexander being back in the middle of that defense. You know, it's going to be some really good matchups. I think it's going to be a really good game. But I just, in my mind, I find San Francisco making one defensive play and being able to get one or two more first downs down the stretch with that run game and to be able to run the clock out. I feel like San Francisco wins the game, and I feel like they come just under the under because I think that's how they have to win, play to win the game. They can't outscore Kansas City. They have to possess the ball, run it, and play sound defense. And I just think San Francisco is going to win a three-point game. I really do.
JQ, you're going against your norm when it comes to predicting football games.
Really? Oh, yeah, he is. He always is the quarterback.
Yeah, you always pitch the team who has a better quarterback. You're not being consistent.
not with this one. I'm not. I'm not with this one. But I think the thing about it for me is that I feel like the San Francisco defense, you're right, and I own that, and I normally always take the better quarterback, and Patrick Mahomes is by far the better quarterback between him and Jimmy G. So I don't want to get that twisted for anybody listening to it. However, I think that San Francisco defense, in comparison to the Kansas City defense, can still do enough. They're not going to stop Kansas City. Don't get me wrong. Kansas City's not going to come out of that game with 10 points looking like, whoa, what happened to the volume of Kansas City offense? That's not going to happen. They're going to score some points. I just feel like that San Francisco defense, hearing all week for the past 2 weeks about how great that Kansas City offense is and how great Patrick Mahomes is and how they don't have a chance in the dark, is going to put a big old boulder on their shoulder, not a chip, a boulder, and they're going to come out and play some really good football on the defensive side of the ball. I do. I hope to be wrong. I hope you can come back and say, you know what, Rob, you're right. I should have stayed with my ethos and where I always go with the quarterback, and I'll never go against that again. But I also feel like that with Aaron Rodgers and Jimmy Garoppolo, and we see how that worked out. So I think it can be done if you have a stout enough defense. And I think San Francisco's defense is stout enough to turn the tide to where you just can't go on the quarterback comparison. That's why I say that.
Yeah. Here's another nugget to think about here in the Super Bowl. Andy Reid is 38-14 with at least 10 days to prepare for an opponent. He's got a proven track record. Now, obviously, he's lost the Super Bowl as well against the Patriots in the Colts football game. But 38-14 with given 10 days or more to prepare for an opponent. So we'll see if he can build on that success. And yeah, also, historically, Andy Reid has been one of the best coaches coming off of bye week, too. So we'll see if that translates here in this matchup here in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Well, guess who's going to be
there? Go ahead, Jack.
Guess who's going to be down there for the Super Bowl?
Who's going to be down there?
The guy sitting next to me is going to be there. I've got a leave at 9 o'clock, so he can get that red eye out into Atlanta, and he'll be down there for all the festivities. Curtis will. Hopefully, he'll take some selfies at different places and send them to us. But he's going to the Super Bowl. He's got his hotel. Man.
Yeah, but, you know, a little bit of this is deja vu because it was Miami 10 years ago when Houdat Nation was down there with Peyton Manning and the coach. And I'm looking at the match, and I'm remembering all the things. Now, because of my situation, this is going to be challenging, and it's I'm going to have a great time, but I'm not going to have the same kind of great time I had before when I was healthy and it could be out to 3 and 4 in the morning. We're not going to be doing that on this trip. And
I want to see videos online of you dancing with the mamacitas down there on South Beach.
Girls gone wild. That guy got, I think he went to jail, actually. He got in a lot of trouble. But, and I'm going to have to, because I tried to deal with a website up here, that I was looking at something that they jacked up by with their service fees and all that, almost $1,000, which didn't make any sense to me. And my bank denied it, good thing. But being down there, I'm going to be in people's face to face, and I'm going to tell some people, try to do a service charge with me right in front of your face. Let's get this ticket. You know,
there you go.
I'm not playing that, you know. And you kind of depend on these websites when you're out of town, because I don't deal with them if there's an in-town event. I go right to the venue, and you beat all those charges they want to do. But, I like I said, I've done a Miami before, and I know Miami is a spot that looks forward to these kind of big things. Everybody gets in on this. All the hotels, all the taxi cab drivers, all the Lyft drivers, all the restaurants, all the bars, you know, that town. And, you know, there's going to be cruise ships coming in and out. I'm going to definitely do Radio Row, though, on Friday. And maybe meet up with Colin Coward, go see Stephen A. Smith, go see Shannon Sharp, go see all of them. I'm going to see all of them on Radio Row on Friday. I'm going to all those shows. And I don't expect to be talking any crap, but they may bring up something that gets me yelling at them.
I can see that. Nice. I was just going to say just my little thoughts real quick before we go too nuts is that this can go a couple different ways, too. If you're looking at if the 49ers are able to run the ball, that's going to be a problem. As JQ said, I can definitely see that happening. Now, again, that's going to be interesting to say the least, because if you are the Chiefs, do you still have to stop the run and pretty much make, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo beat you, which is what you probably want to do, and you're hoping that he's going to make a mistake. Like, you know, that's kind of what I'm thinking and kind of where we thought you were going to go, JQ, because obviously, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo is the guy. And then if he beats you, then you, like, you tip your hat and say, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo beat us. But, you know, there's no way that we're going to sell out and let them just run nuts, man. So, again, not sure it's going to play out, man, because, again, you know, Kyle Shanahan, he realizes that, you know, the run game is a quarterback's best friend. And also the debacle that was earlier, he does have that history. Say, man, we got to run the ball, man. This is how you lock it up, man. It could be something crazy like freaking gets down to the last moment to kick a field goal because he ran the ball. Some crap like that, I can see that actually happening too, man. So I don't know. But, again, that's where we are. We are making great time, fellas. So I guess I want to talk about really quickly the updated NFL mock draft, and then did the text know the right thing about hiring Bill O'Brien, the GM, and then we'll go ahead and wrap this up, man. It's been an emotional night, too. So, Rob, floor is yours again, man.
All right. Obviously, you all know we just had the Senior Bowl this past weekend. Made a few more changes to the mock draft. Obviously, the first three positions, no changes there. Joe Burrow to the Bengals, Chase Young to Washington, Jeff Okuda to Detroit. And even for JQ's team, the Bengals, first pick of the second round, I got him taking Austin Jackson, USC, offensive tackle. Got him falling to the first pick of the second round. If that was to happen for the Bengals, that would be phenomenal to get a franchise back and to get an offensive tackle of that caliber, first pick of the second round. I didn't send you guys my updated second round draft. But I did send you guys the updated first-round pick, but that's who I had the Bengals taking in the second round. The biggest move I have is Isaiah Simmons. I moved him all the way up to number four and to the Giants. Now, the Giants, they desperately need some defensive help. They can use some offensive line help. They need another weapon on a perimeter, too. But one thing that a lot of teams are starting to express interest in Isaiah Simmons, they think he can rush the pass on the edge. They think he can play in the interior of the linebacker. And even some teams even think he can play safety, too, in a lot of passing situations, too. So he's got that kind of versatility. Moved him all the way up to number four. My previous mock, I had him number seven to Carolina. But he's up at number four. Still have Tua to Miami. I still have Justin Herbert to the Los Angeles Chargers, as it looked like they are definitely moving on from the Phillip Rivers era. I got Jerry Jeudy, number seven, to Carolina. Give them another weapon with DJ Moore. I got CeeDee Lamb going to Arizona, the very next pick at number eight. A few other big names, big Derrick Brown, got him going number nine to Jacksonville. I got T. Higgins, wide receiver Clemson, going to Tampa. Henry Ruggs, wide receiver Alabama, going to Denver. Got the Falcons taking A.J. Espinosa, the edge pass rusher from Iowa. In Dallas, got him taking the edge rusher from LSU, Caleb on Chase on. And then also Javon Kinlaw, another one to watch, defensive tackle, South Carolina. I have him going to Philly. Grant Delpit, got him getting another LSU guy to go with Tre'Davious White, give him a safety in that secondary. Got Christian Fulton, cornerback from LSU to New England. And this may be a little bit of a surprise, but I got the Saints taking J.K. Dobbins, running back from Ohio State. You know, Alvin Kamara, has 1 year left on his contract, and the Saints somewhat missed Mark Ingram a little bit, even though they had Latavius Murray. He wasn't Mark Ingram. And, you know, to get that 1-2 punch, I think all indications are Kamara is going to get that new contract. But, you know, for security purpose, you got J.K. Dobbins on number 24, and the Saints like backs with a little bit of versatility. And plus, he's from Ohio State. We know Saints like Ohio State players. There you go. Miami. Got him taking Patrick Queen, linebacker from LSU. Wow. Now, he's one of the fastest risers in this draft. Always had a lot of athleticism. Really came on at the end of the season. Had a phenomenal game in the national championship game against Clemson. Really athletic guy. Played in the middle, probably played outside on the 4-3 as well. So he's one of the fastest risers in this draft. Patrick Queen, linebacker from LSU, on 26. Justin Jefferson, wide receiver from LSU, going 28 to Baltimore. And I got a trade. I added a trade in this mock. I got Indianapolis trade into the back of the second round to take Jordan Love at number 32. So I moved San Francisco down to the 34th spot in the second round. So we got a trade there to get that a quarterback in the bottom of the first round there.
Yeah, and I've got a homeboy who's from Tampa, and the scuttlebutt in Tampa, they are really high on J.K. Dobbins. So it'll be interesting to see if they feel like he's high enough, if he's good enough, because you know how you feel about running backs nowadays. I can give me a running back anywhere and make it work, but it's not really worked so far with Ronald Jones from USC. So that'd be interesting to see because they're pretty solid at wide receiver, you know, with Mike Evans and Godwin. They've got perimeter weapons, but that running game has not lived up to the hype in Tampa like they thought Ronald Jones was going to do. So we'll see if he gets past Tampa. But man, Henry Ruggs to Denver to go outside on the outside with Sutton and Drew Lock is huge for that Denver offense. I mean, really yep. ridiculous. And Miami needs help everywhere. But I think they also need a running back. So it's still interesting to see if Tampa passes on Dobbins. They take a look at him as well. So, I mean, I appreciate you putting this together. I would hate for Justin Jefferson to go to Baltimore because, Lord Jesus, I don't want to deal with him twice a year with Lamar Jackson and that run game and be able to play action pass and throw it to him or Hollywood. That would be really bad for the rest of the AFC North. It really would be. That would be a home run pick, once again, by Baltimore drafting late in the draft to come up with that. So, again, I like Diggs from Alabama going to Minnesota. I look at Rose. He's not the same Xavier Rose that he's been. They're going to have to fortify that secondary as well. So very, very interesting in this latter half of this draft about, you know, guys getting picked in terms of, you know, sometimes you hear the NFL team saying, I'm going to take the best player available. But we all know that they also kind of hedge that bet with a need pick as well. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out in the draft.
I think we should see what most teams do with that need versus best player. I think typically if you have a guy, if you have three or four guys with an equal grade, then obviously you're going to take the position you need. But if you just have somebody that's just on your board and it may not be a positional lead, they just have a higher grade than the next people on the board, it's a lot of times it's hard for franchises to pass that kind of player up, even if it's a position you already stocked at. And
Peterson,
but typically
for the Minnesota,
typically, mm-hmm, absolutely. But typically, if you have three or four guys with an equal grade, and then obviously you're going to go for the position you need to help at.
No, I know. I absolutely agree with you. And it comes down to philosophy, right? You're absolutely right. And some people, you know, even with that, yeah, and everybody, you know, they have maybe have a somewhat equal grade, but it's hard for me to believe that when you look at however many players are available for the draft in any given year that you get to a point where you're at 15, 16, 23, where you have three guys that are at the same equal grade available to you and you have that kind of selection to make. I feel like everybody has a prejudice, you know what I mean, of who they still feel is a better player than and they kind of either go that way or they, in terms of value versus need. I take it with a grain of salt that the dude said, out of these 400 people, I'm here drafting right here, and these three guys have the same exact grade while I'm sitting here at 18, for example. You know what I mean? I just feel like there's still a level of prejudice of, I like this dude still a little better than this dude. They're close, Don't get me wrong, they're close in terms of grade, but I had this guy 0.1 or 0.5 or a full point ahead of the formula that we use to evaluate players. So, again, it's not to nitpick with the draft that you sent us at all. It's just that my own personal evaluation of what I see teams do in the draft that I've seen. It's like, yeah, they say that, but then they had that guy, and they'll either move up to get him, or if he falls to him, they'll go grab that dude because they feel like he's, you know, a need pick, and they just like him a little bit more, and maybe they like him a little bit more because he's a need pick. You know what I mean? That sometimes it kind of pushes the guy a little further over another dude who you would probably maybe have similar, but he feels a need, and you fall in love with him, and you go ahead and get him. That's my only point about that.
Yeah, I think it's two things you have to look at from an organization standpoint. When you have a guy, you're on the clock, and the mm-hmm. best player, the highest graded player left on the board is a position you're already strong at. You know, you got to make the decision, hey, do you want to go ahead and stock that position, be even stronger at it? Or you say, hey, let's trade down here and see if we can get some additional picks here and let somebody else come up and get this player in a need. But I do think as the draft goes along, it's easier for you to reach for positions. But in that first mm-hmm. round, you have to hit on the player. So I mean,
true.
you have to hit on the player in that first round because you're investing a lot in them. And so typically you're going to see teams draft best player over need in that first round because you're making such a substantial investment in that particular player with a first-round pick. But when you start getting down the road, second, third, fourth, and definitely as you go along the draft, you're looking to see who's come in and make your team. And whether it be a special team player, or whether they come in, you know, be a backup safety is where you're weak at. The further you go along in the draft, hey, you're just drafting guys, hey, who can come in and make this team right now? And that's the way GMs and head coaches start thinking as the further you go along in that draft. But that first round selection has got to be 9 times out of 10, you're definitely going with the best player available.
Rob, I've got a question for you. With the movement, you know, there's always a surprise move in the draft. You know, there's always someone that's wanting to move up or down or whatever to snag that certain player. And with your skill set, it seems like you may have a bit of a grasp on that. Do you have any guesses on who may move up or down and for a particular player and why?
And Rob, answer that, hold it really quickly. We got to set up because it's literally that time. You know how it goes. You know how it goes. You got to set this up.
Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you all for tuning in to another great edition with Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Next week, we're going to be back on the air on Wednesday night again, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We thank you all for tuning in again. We're getting ready to go to our OT portion. Unfortunately, we can't give you this portion of the show live. Click on the same link tomorrow and the rest of the week. We still got more draft coverage and more NFL talk, and then we're going to be closing up the show. Definitely click on the same link to get the rest of the show. Good night, people.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I appreciate you guys for letting me have a little talk about Kobe, to get some things off my chest and off my heart. So I appreciate the latitude you guys gave me to talk about him to start this show. We appreciate everybody for listening to the show and downloading it. And make sure you please download it and listen to the rest of this talk. I want to hear what Rob has to say for sure about particular players that may be moving up in the draft. I'm always going to go with the quarterbacks. I feel like they always artificially rise in the draft. And I see Jordan Love and his mock making it into the first round where we might not have thought about that, you know, a couple months ago. So appreciate you, Rob, and I appreciate you guys as always. I love you guys, and everybody, you have a good week.
Yeah,
it is.
JQ's point there. Yeah, if you're talking about a player, that may be moving into the first round, yeah, Jordan Love and the quarterbacks. Jacob Eason is another guy to watch. He's a guy with a lot of physical tools, strong arm from Washington. So he's another guy from a quarterback perspective that teams may give a strong look at here late in the first round or early in the second round. I think it's a little too early to talk about what teams may be looking to move up. obviously, we still got to go through the free agency period. We still have NFL combines, and so it's probably a little early. I would say there's a slight chance, depending on Tua medicals, and all indications are that he's ahead of schedule in his recovery. So, I mean, there's a slight chance that you could look at Miami moving up to a three or something like that just to make sure they get a player like that to a, in this draft if all indications that he's still ahead of schedule on his recovery with that hip injury. So he's another one to look at. But, yeah, as you mentioned, Gary, there's going to be a lot of movement. It's just so – it's way too early to kind of see where that movement is going to be coming from.
Nice.
Yeah, that first domino is going to fall, whatever Miami does, you know. So we'll see how that plays out. And if they make the two move, we're going to know what's going to happen as far as the draft too. If there may be like a surprise, folks move it up. So yeah, man, it's one of those situations too, as you talk about. You know, it's kind of hard to predict it, but we'll kind of see kind of what happens. The same thing that happened last year was at the draft, the Giants. They changed the whole thing too. Go ahead, Rob. We about to say something.
And they have 3 first-round picks in Miami, so they're definitely a team,
right,
that that has the ammo to move around a little bit if they see fit. Now, even I think they could possibly have a really good draft even by standing pack at 3 first-round picks too.
Mm-hmm. I agree, and I feel like for them, they've got so many holes. Like a Bengals have so many holes that they feel like, you know, and maybe even, you know. Are they done accumulating picks, right? You've got 3, and maybe somebody is looking at them at, you know, at 18 or at even at 26. Like, you know, somebody's falling, they really want, and they move up, and they fall back again and accumulate another second and third round pick. So they are really sitting in a catbird seat for me with the moves that they made. And obviously dealing with Houston, you know, with Kenny Stills and Larry Tunsil. And you can talk about it, Rob, here in a second about O'Brien. They're sitting in a very catbird seat. They can stand pat, like you said, and fill 3 spots on their roster, or and just stay there, or they can trade down one of those picks and pick up another. You know, those second and third round picks are very valuable too. You see them come in all the time and be Pro Bowl selections. So to me, Miami is really the team to watch.
Yeah, and you saw, you know, Oakland obviously wasn't a team that made the playoffs.
Oakland too.
You saw them. You saw the improvement that they made just by having those 3 first-round picks and those additional picks they had on their roster last year. And, you know, we talk about player movement and players moving up in the draft. I mean, you saw what Oakland did last year at the number 4 pick, picking Cleveland Ferrell. He's a guy that myself, nor any other draft prognosticators, had going that high in the draft. And not that he's not a bad football player. He actually had a decent season for the Raiders. But he was a classic guy that just went way ahead of what most people thought he was going to go.
That does happen. Get your guy, man.
Andrew Thomas from Georgia is somebody I look at, because we keep talking about these teams like my Bengals and the Giants and other teams that really, really, really need offensive line help. And it could happen that, you know, offensive tackle outside of the quarterback might be another position where a skill set like that artificially rises because people reach a little bit and, like, you know, I need to go get this franchise dude. I think he can be my left tackle. He can be my Orlando Pace for the next 10 to 12 years, and they maybe draft him a little tad bit too high. So if I was looking at a position group outside of a quarterback, it would be offensive tackle.
Yeah, and that's a deep position, especially in the first round of this draft. I mean, I have Andrew Thomas going number 10 right now to Cleveland. You know, you get Baker Mayfield some more protection and get that running game going. And but he's a guy that could go as high as number 4. And I've had a mock where I have had him as high as number 4. So he's somewhere. He can go as high as number 4. I can't see him going lower than 10, 11, or 12, somewhere in that ballpark. But he's definitely – he'll be in a conversation with the New York Giants at number 4. Best believe that.
Yes.
What was Curtis about to say?
Yeah, I was going to say, well, what I always watch and try to see is the Pac-12 players, see where they go. I'm going to be interested in the linemen from Oregon. And, you know, and talking about linemen for Oregon, you know, with the San Francisco team having two defensive linemen from Oregon, and one of them I don't even remember, and, you know, I sure blew it on that end of the deal. So that's going to be very interesting to see how these Pac-12 players pan out.
Yeah, I mean, Jake Hansen, the center from Oregon, I have him going the third round to Las Vegas. So I haven't sent you guys this, but he's one guy. He's one of those linemen from Oregon. Like I said, I have him going in the third round of the draft. So he'll be one to watch. Like I said, you know, and Oregon did have some really good offensive defensive linemen. Now the defensive line, a lot of those guys still coming back to school. I mean, Kayvon Thibodeau, oh man, he's going to be a heck of a draft pick here in the next year or so as well, and going to be one of the top pass rushers in the country next year. Another offensive lineman from Oregon to watch is Kelvin Throckmorton. I am going in the second round at Houston at number 57 overall. So he's another one of those offensive linemen from Oregon. But like I said, I have him going number 57, versatile guy. I project him to be a guard in the NFL, but I have him going number 57. Houston doesn't have a first-round pick, so he will be Houston's first pick in the draft, according to this mock draft. And then, you know, you mentioned the Pac-12 players. Not many in the first round this year, that's for sure. You know, obviously, we talked about Justin Herbert. And the only other ones that I have going in the first round is Brandon Ayuk, wide receiver from Arizona State. And then, of course, LaVisca Chenault, wide receiver from Colorado. I have him going 19 in Las Vegas.
Wow. Good call. All right. We like it. Anything else to add to that, gentlemen, as far as – and Rob, I know we give you a hard time. You are definitely right with the the other guys, the Todd McShays and whatever, they keep adding drafts and making forward five or six, you know, different mocks. So getting up to start, like, dating them, man, because it's crazy to see, like, how many things can change. You know, obviously this is, you know, pre-free agency, you know, pre-combine, and then things may adjust, obviously, as the season goes along too, man. So I know we're kind of wrap this up for the East Coasters, but I don't know if you guys want to comment really quickly on that. And then also – just the Texans do the right thing by naming Bill O'Brien the GM. I'm going to say no, but that's just me because I don't understand. But, yeah, that's it real quickly too. So you guys have the last thing, and then we'll go ahead and wrap up the show. So go ahead, JQ. You want to talk about that or anything? The floor is yours now.
Yeah, that piece of it, he gets a lot of flack, and, you know, he just seems just like a jerk, and that's the thing part of his – he needs a better PR person. Like, Bill O'Brien just comes off as just like somebody you just don't like. Just want to punch him in the face. But You want to talk about it, but they're making the playoffs. And, you know, Kenny Stills, you know, given that Fuller can't stay healthy, is still a quality wide receiver opposite of Deshaun Hopkins. Randy Tuffle is still a very quality offensive lineman. Maybe we're having given up first-round picks for him. I don't know about taking it that far. And that's what Rob just talked about, them not having the first-round pick. But he's trying to maximize – the things around Deshaun Watson. And I can't necessarily fault that. He's trying to give him another protector, another weapon. J.J. Watt just got hurt again. Jonathan Joseph got hurt. So they got to find a way. I think he's got to shift his focus to not be so offensive-centric all the time and figure out a way to kind of bolster that defense a little bit because they were getting gashed. I mean, you go up 21-0 in Arrowhead and you lose badly, you know, that's – I understand that, but Deshaun Watson scored enough points. They had, even with the turnovers, they scored enough points where you should be able to win that game and not give up 50-some points to Patrick Mahomes when you have that kind of a lead. So he's got to kind of try to shift his focus to be more team-centric and not just fall back into his own, you know, offensive, you know, pedigree. But the time will tell us if he can make that transition. So I'm just going to say, for me, the jury is out on O'Brien. Outside of that, like I said, wrapping up the show, I talked about what was heavy on my heart, and what I needed to talk about. I don't necessarily need to add any more to it. So I'm good. I've enjoyed the show with you guys, and I'll leave the floor to you.
All right, thanks, JQ. Curtis,
well, gentlemen, we got nothing left to talk about right now. I'm packing Curtis up in the car. I'm getting him down to the airport, and getting his butt on a plane, and he'll be in Miami. So we'll be signing off right now. So, gentlemen, we love you. Have a safe week.
Love you, too. Appreciate you, man. I love, man.
Have a ball in Miami.
All right. Take some pictures, too.
Curtis Gray, bye.
See you in Miami.
Yeah, I love it.
Have a good one, man.
I love it, Rob.
Well, I'll just kind of wrap up on my thoughts on Bill O'Brien, and we can kind of end the show. I don't necessarily agree with the decision of them having the head coach also be the general manager. And I think the head coach should be involved in buying the groceries that Bill Parcells will say? Absolutely. And plus, you want to be able to make sure who you're bringing in from a personnel standpoint fits your vision, fits your strategy, things of that nature, your schemes. Yeah, I definitely do. But I think you want to have the GM kind of concentrating on all of that. And I'm sure he's going to have some capologists to help him with the cap and things of that nature. I'm sure that, I mean, most head coaches, I'm sure, don't know how to manage the cap. I'm just going to be, most of them have too many other things to worry about. And, I think that's a bad decision by the organization personally. I think they should really bring in the GM to be separate, free up Bill O'Brien to concentrate on the day-to-day football operations and managing the football team, and having the GM to kind of oversee that, keep those two things separate. And we've seen that rarely. Maybe Jimmy Johnson was the last one who was able to do that and be successful. And what is that, over 30 years ago? And I personally think that's a bad decision for the Houston Texans.
Yeah, man. I think everyone has nailed on the head, too. I mean, and JQ, you said it perfectly. He does come across like he's a jerk, man. I mean, maybe he has a different personality outside of that, too. Maybe that's part of the Patriot way, if you will, man. But,
maybe it's on,
same thing. You're a jerk. I was going to put it in there too. But he does come across as having a, like somebody peed in his cornflakes, something like that too. But, at the end of the day, you can't put a fault. Again, I'm just saying he looks like that. Come on, man. He looks like that, man. Like everything is, there's no happiness, man. But like you said, he is winning. And right now he's making some good moves, but then again, there is that slight decision to make sure that there is kind of separation of church and state, just to kind of look at that too. Obviously he wants to be involved in the decisions, but sometimes that may cloud your judgment. And we'll see how it plays out for the Texans. This may be an opportunity for them to let him, seal his own grave, man, if you will, man. So we'll see, man. I don't know. That's what you said. But again. Gentlemen, way to wrap up a great show. I know it's kind of started out kind of heavy and somber, but we're hopefully able to have some woosah moments and just kind of, like I said, take things in stride. And then, it's hard to talk about Super Bowl and everything like that too. But, hopefully we get to the week, it'll get better. And, we kind of have those moments, man. I appreciate Gary saying that he loves this man because, most guys don't say that, man. So it's good to hear that as well, man, and be okay with it, man. So in spite of the circumstance too. That's my two cents, guys.
Well said.
You did it, Rob?
Yep. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for all tuning in. Another great edition with Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We certainly appreciate you all tuning in. We're looking at next Wednesday night again for the next show, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And how about those LSU basketball Tigers? 9 in a row. Go Tigers.
Oh God! I didn't. I wasn't paying attention to the damn LSU basketball thing. I'm learning. I wasn't paying attention to the LSU basketball team. I didn't know that was coming, but I'm gonna let you have that. You keep riding the LSU wave. I would if I was you as well. So I'm not hating.
There you go.
All right, gentlemen, get some rest, and again, have a great, great week, and we'll talk to you guys soon. Peace out, America. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks, guys.
Absolutely.
Great talking with you guys.
Talk to y'all later.
LSU baseball probably going to be preseason number one, too.
Oh, goodness. Okay, bye.
Good night.
Good night, people.
Bye.
Go Tigers.
Here we go.
So ignorant.